Welcome.
I remembered to let you go first.
Oh, I should have said something more than just welcome.
Welcome. Welcome to the on-call room.
This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. I am your host, your only host, Brie.
And I am just this person that sits at the table and presses buttons. It's like I'm the tech person.
It's like I created you.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you don't exist. Everyone thinks you do, but like...
I'm like, what's the smart house's name in the movie Smart House?
Smart House? What is her name? Like, Diane?
I don't know, but she... Hello, Brie.
What is her
Welcome
name?
Welcome to the on-call room.
She's really creepy.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast where we deep dive every episode. Would you like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I would not. Thank you.
Fuck you. And then it turns into the preview for Chucky.
Yeah.
Remember when
I'm
we saw that?
Looking up what her name is. I don't think she has a name.
She's just the house.
Pat.
Remember? Oh, yeah, Pat. Remember when she's like, shouldn't you be in bed? And,
yeah,
like, shuts the blinds.
My favorite part of that whole movie was when they had, like, the big screens and she was dancing to...
Yeah.
And then the little girl was dancing to Bewitched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Say you will, say you won't, say you'll do what I don't. What does that mean?
I don't know. Say it true.
What does say la vie mean in French?
It's life. That's life.
Say you will, say you won't, say you'll do what I don't. Say you'll say something, you'll be true. Say to me, say it's life. Anyways, okay, so we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We are currently in season 6.
This is the life.
That's what it means?
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense. It just rhymes. But
yeah,
like, not the actual
but like
translation.
That's, I knew it was life, but I didn't know. What did I say?
Say you will, say you won't, say you'll do what I don't, say you'll be true, something, say to me, say that's
love
the life.
Say that.
It's stupid.
Anyway, this is, did we
also
say
they're
that
Irish.
This is
why are they speaking French?
That you're right. That doesn't make any sense.
They should be speaking Irish.
That's why that band did not go any further than...
They shouldn't be speaking the luck of the Irish. I can't do an Ireland accent. Where's Heather McMahon when we need her?
Yeah, I can't do one either.
Okay, so we're in season 6.
Episode 5 and 6 today.
Lots of shit happened.
Yeah, we'll get into it, but
so,
it's a whole thing.
So basically, if this is your first time here, we've been deep diving all the episodes starting in season 1, episode 1, and we're pretty far. I'm kind of proud.
Yeah.
But we have an awesome way that if you really like the podcast and you want to be a little bit more involved other than just a podcast ghost who listens and shouts at us from your car, you can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom and you can pledge anywhere from $2 to $10 a month.
Or more.
Or, yeah, honestly, there are a few people who are generous givers.
Yeah.
And you can be an intern, a resident, or an attending, and you get all sorts of free shit, except it's not free, but it kind of feels free.
Right.
Like, what are some of the things, Brie?
Like tonight, we are going to chat with everyone and our Google Hangout. So if you're an attending, once a month, you get to hang out with Abby and me. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's fun because everyone else is there and
right,
they have a lot of really great things to say. I mean, we're just us.
Yeah.
Just.
But you can actually talk to everyone that listens.
Yeah. And see them. It's like a little video chat. So that's fun. You can co-host the podcast, mm-hmm, which is dope as hell.
Starting next week, we're going to have some co-hosts.
And you can leave a voicemail for us.
We're going to have one of those today, too, I think.
Yeah. So you can either call Time of Death if you're a resident, or if you're an attending, you can call and you can honestly say whatever you want. If you want to talk about the podcast or the episode, great. If you just want to give a shout out to your grandma for her birthday, because this is her favorite podcast.
Because that's everyone grandma's favorite podcast.
Yeah. Then fuck yeah, grandma.
Yes.
Happy motherfucking birthday.
Everyone plays this for their grandma now. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at the on-call room pod, where we will make sure to remind you about new episodes. And sometimes we'll do roundups of what the cast is up to. And sometimes Brie and I will just get drunk and go on it. So
check that once in a while.
Yeah. And we have a website, which we don't use, but you can contact us on it. Well, so when I say we don't use, I mean...
We have other...
It's just there.
Because every good business
has a website.
Has a website.
Yeah, so it's the
every great not dual.
Every great duel. Where are you going with this?
As a website. Duo. Duo. Not duel.
I can't wait to duel. So you can go to the oncallroompod.com. It rhymes. And also, just a reminder to all you Patreon. God, I always mess it up. Patrons on Patreon. Remember that we are working our way towards a goal, which you can check out on the Patreon website. And when we reach that goal, we will record like the 10 minutes that happen after Bree and I hit stop every time we record. And it's usually bullshit and funny stuff. And sometimes it's still about Grace. Sometimes it's not. But that will be released as a post-stop episode for patrons only. So help us reach that.
Yeah, that would be great. Also, another way to support the podcast, if you, if it's just not in your budget to, pledge monthly, you can leave us a review. That costs you nothing and it helps us a ton. It's how people find the podcast. And we're currently at a 4.7 scalpel.
Yeah. We'd like to get a little higher.
Five.
We want like a high Uber rating.
Right. So, if you haven't yet, we would really love it if you went on there and left us a review.
We have a little featured one here. We just like to share the people who have done it. So whoever DMW1133 is.
Sup, DMW?
It's like BMW.
DM me.
Oh, DM me W.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why I said 1133, but it was kind of fun.
One, one,
sometimes
three, three.
I forget you can say numbers like that. But anyways,
or you could say 113.3.
Or 1,133.
Yeah. Or you could say 1133.
Exactly. So, okay, they said, I want to be best friends with these two. Thank you, DMW. We would like to be best friends with you. Yeah. Bree and Abby are hilarious. I love the way they go off on tangents together and talk about everything. It reminds me of how I interact with my best friends. It makes me feel like I know them. Their Grey's opinions and insight also opens my mind and has somehow made me love this show even more. Thank you for making me even more embarrassingly obsessed. Love this podcast and I'd recommend it to anyone, Grey's fan or not. Wow, thank you.
That's such a nice review.
Also, I'm glad that we've made people like hate the show more. I'm glad that we're like only growing their love for it.
Yeah, because we do say some things that would maybe make you think otherwise, but right. Just shows that we're all just true fans.
Yeah.
Why else would we be doing this podcast?
No one knows. So yeah, leave a review and hopefully we will get to read it on the show. We're going to work our way through. The last way you can support us is if, like, let's say you need some new clothes, you can go to www.thisisaday.com and check out this really cool female-run clothing business. They're based in New York and London, and they make clothes that you can wear. Like, the whole idea is that you can develop just, like, small, higher-quality pieces that can be worn multiple different ways. We're big fans of them and of their support for the show, and they want to offer you 20% off your first order, which, like, on a $100 item is $20.
Right. It's worth it.
It's like 2 months of being a patron.
Yes.
So that is a really amazing way you can help us out. And you can do that by going to their website and using the code OnCallRoomXAday at checkout for 20% off your purchase. And let us know if you buy anything. We'd love to see it on you.
Yeah. I was just on their website today looking at their new collection.
It's freaking cute.
Yeah.
That tie shirt.
That tie shirt is so cute.
I know.
I'm going to have to get it. And that dress is adorable.
I know. I know. It's annoying to me because I want it.
Yeah.
So maybe support us and maybe Bree and I will model it for you someday.
Wouldn't that be nice?
All right. We are going to take a little quick break before we go into our discussion and then we'll talk about the episode a little bit later.
Sounds good.
Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to go talk to our patron members.
Yeah. We're going to go
I messed it up again. Patreon members.
We're going to go have a Google Hangout right now. So this could be you.
Yeah. So go to patreon.com/theoncallroom. Okay, thank you so much. We love you. See you in a minute. Bye.
Abby.
Yes.
You have some news.
I do.
What about us.
I cut my hair again. okay, guys. So I'm going to the Tony Awards.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Say it again.
I'm going to the Tony Awards.
What?
Sponsored by the Tony. Actually, no, I'm going to say I'm going to the Tony Awards, sponsored by the podcast.
We were asked to go. I unfortunately am so busy with other engagements, other responsibilities.
Some of you may know. Actually, this is great. for, like, we're going to talk about Pride Month in a minute, and this, like, kind of all goes along. So first of all, happy Pride Month.
Hey.
Second of all, my friend Wynn, who was on the show in season one, I think.
One or two.
Like, it probably annoyed you all because he didn't know anything about Grays.
But we love him.
Yeah, we love him. He's a dear, dear friend of mine and ours, I would say. And he, oh, here comes Marge.
Jesus
Everyone
Christ.
Take a drink from the drink.
Oh my God.
So Wynn has an Instagram account called Patagonia. Oh my God. Marge is on the run.
Oh my God.
It's spelled P-A-T-T-I-E, Gonia, like, you know, a pun of Patagonia, but Patagonia. And it's like his drag queen persona. And it has sort of like exploded. And many of you might have seen the video of him dancing to the Fergie song, Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the song? How?
London Bridge.
Yeah. And, hiking on a mountain in heels. So anyways, he has been invited and I get to be his plus one and take photos and document the whole thing. Although not on the red carpet because you have to have a press pass. So I'm really sad. I really wanted to take
photos. Does one get a press pass?
I don't know, but I wish I could have it. Yes, Marge, you can go in my backpack. Look at her just rubbing on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm going with him.
Which will be so great.
Yeah, it's at Radio City Music Hall. We, last year, watched it at your house with a cheese board.
Yep.
We were mad at everyone who was speaking during the speeches.
Yep. As we usually are when we watch award shows. I'm going to stop having award show parties and just only invite Abby. Because when we watched the Emmys together and we had a great time. It was just you and me and we fucking got it. Like, because we get each other.
Yes. And so I'm really excited. So from what I understand, I think that to enter, you have to walk on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally the entrance to the place.
Yeah.
So I have, like, a dress that I feel, like, decent about.
If anyone were to ask you, like, let's just say you got interviewed.
Okay. Oh, my God.
You would say you were Abby from the on-call room, right?
Wait, how fucking funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for sure, Brie, if I get asked, they'll be like, and you know, whatever, and I'll be like, I'm Abby. I'm the co-host of the On Call Room. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh my God, what? What if this happens?
Yeah.
How do I force this to happen?
You.
I just find some like C-list interviewer.
Yeah.
And be like, hello.
Yes, hi. I the podcast, me, host.
Maybe I should have just worn a t-shirt, an On Call Room t-shirt. Damn it.
Coulda.
I'll be like the Dasani water girl that was in all the background of those photos, but I'll do it with like a sign that says follow the On
Call Room. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I have a dress and going with a few friends and we'll see how it goes. So if you want to like follow along, you should probably follow my personal Instagram. Because I'll be doing stuff on there, and it's at Abby L. Moore. But most importantly, you should follow Wynn at Patagonia, because that's where, like, I'll be filming all the stuff for him. But James Corden is hosting. Actually, when this episode airs, it will have happened.
Yeah.
So.
But that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But James Corden is hosting, and Ben Platt will be there. I'm so excited.
Audrey McDonald, are you sitting next to him?
Who was in fucking Private Practice.
What?
She was the best friend.
Oh, yeah.
She's presenting. Maybe during her speech, I'll just yell, Private Practice is my favorite show.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Get kicked out.
Oh, that would be so sad. I'm from the uncle.
Your dreams are really coming true. Do you feel like you manifested this?
A little bit. When Wynn called and asked me if I wanted to go with him, I almost cried. He also, like, he majored in musical theater.
Yeah, so did he
college.
Cry?
Yeah, like, so this is like a dream.
Yeah.
I'm just excited, too, because I know at other award shows, I mean, like, the Oscars or Emmys would be amazing, but I'm excited to watch the performances.
Right.
They do, like, full-on musical performances.
Yeah, which will be really cool.
And as I just told Brie a few minutes ago, I'm mostly excited to see what happens during the commercial break.
Yeah, because we've always wondered.
Yeah, and I'm just excited to see the intro and see all the outfits, and I'm sure I'm going to be, like, in the nosebleeds. But Radio City isn't, it's big, but it's not like a football stadium. Like, it's,
right.
So, I don't know. It'll be cool.
It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm so happy that you got invited personally. I'm so happy the on-call room got invited.
Yeah, honestly, we're just sponsored by the Tony
Awards. Yeah, seriously.
They're not giving us anything, but also look at Marge just sitting by my backpack.
She loves it. It's her best friend.
She looks actually possessed.
Marge is also going to the Tonys.
What if I brought her in a bag?
She would love it. She would be like, meow, 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 meow. They would be like, what is Mart? Why
what
is she here?
Wearing?
And she would be like, I starred in Cats. Back when it first came out on Broadway. She is a veteran.
I was so in character that I stayed a cat.
That she stayed a cat. She's Grizabella.
Yeah. I need to watch it. You have it on DVD, right?
I do, yeah.
I need to watch
I think we talked about cats when we had Win on the podcast.
You guys sang that summer, that something about midnight.
Memories all alone in the moonlight.
What's the cat he wanted to be?
The Rum Tum Tugger?
Yeah.
The Rum Tugger is a curious cat. If you want me pheasant, I'd rather have rat. Me.
What cat are you?
I would probably Grizabella.
Is she
maybe
the white one?
Deuteronomy. The old.
There's a cat named.
He's a huge, like, male old cat.
Is
he old Deuteronomy. Yes, he's very biblical.
Oh my God. I definitely like need to watch it.
Yeah.
I think you guys told me I would be the white cat, but I'm not okay with wearing a white body.
Well, the white cat, I don't think she sings very much.
That's fine.
She dances a ton. I think that's why we said that, because you majored or minored in dance.
And I can't sing for shit.
Well, I'm not saying that.
I could be in a chorus.
In the chorus.
But I would like accidentally just match pitch with whatever one's the easiest.
I think they would just want that from you as the white dancing cat.
I wouldn't harmonize.
No, you don't need to.
I always try when I'm driving and listening to songs, and it's really hard.
Oh, my God. So we were driving to my nephew's 4th birthday party yesterday, and John was like, play whatever you want.
Oh, God, it's a fucking open invitation.
Yeah, I was like, really? Here, first of all, here's a song from Waitress. And he was like, okay.
Jake fucking hates when I do this.
Yeah, and then I'm like in tears, and I'm like, this is so good. And he's like, uh-huh. I was like, did you listen to the lyrics? They're so good. So then I was like, what about some French music? So I put on some Stromae, which he'd never listened to, which is like French rap, which you texted me, you were listening to Spanish rap. And I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Then I put on some other French music, like Amadou and Mariam. If you've ever listened to them, they're great. And so we're just listening to all this French music. And then John's like, should we watch a French movie when we get home tonight? And I was like, absolutely, we should watch Moulin Rouge. And he's like, that is not a French movie. He's like, it takes place in France. It is. So then I put on the soundtrack to Moulin Rouge. And I sang Elephant Love Melody.
Oh.
Because Reva and I used to sing that back and forth, like we take turns whose part. And this one's for you. That's not Elephant Love Melody,
oh,
but
that's
okay. Yeah, it's totally fine. And so I was just going back and forth singing like each person's part, and I was doing such a good job. I think he was like kind of blown away, honestly. And then the next song was Come What May, which he didn't remember. I was like, we definitely need to watch Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I can hear it in my soul right now.
Yeah, okay. But the point of this whole story is when Reva and I would sing that together, no matter like which person we were like playing, we would at a certain part always hit the same note because we couldn't harmonize. And I was telling John that, and it got to that part, and I tried to be
the other part.
Yeah, I tried to be Christian and sing his part, and I went so flat. I don't think I hit like a correct note at all. He like looked over at me like, oh God. And then I tried to do it again.
Is it the very end with the like, the, I can't even sing.
Come on, man. Yeah.
And then she goes so high. It's I will love you.
Yeah, it was.
I will love you.
That but I got the.
Oh, God, I just watched
it. Should we watch it? Should we press pause and go watch it?
In that song. How about next time we take a break, we just watch like that?
Yeah. Suddenly my life doesn't seem such a way.
It's amazing that was like Nicole Kidman is still such a thriving career.
Well, you know what's sad is they didn't get any awards for it because it wasn't original music.
Right, right.
Which is bullshit. The only one that was Come What May.
Also, that's becoming a musical on Broadway. Did you know that?
I know that because Reva and I texted about it that we will meet in New York and see
Can
it.
Can I come?
Absolutely.
I wasn't a part of your harmonizing, but I will show up.
Yeah, like that is one of my favorite movies of all time. If I had to pick, that's in my top 5.
Don't you guys always...
10, who do 5 to 10.
That's with Annie that you talk about the... What's the character? The like...
Zilla?
Yeah.
The Maharaja.
Maharaja. Yeah, I love the tango dance too. The,
yeah, Roxanne.
Like that one, I think might have been another time.
You don't have to wear that dress tonight. I used to dance in my room to that. I would put it on my 5 CD changer boombox and my burn CD and like spin around that, pretending to tango.
That is one of the songs also where I think I felt sexual feelings for the first time.
Yeah, like when he's da, 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 da. When he's like touching her body.
Yeah. Fuck this
it's
podcast.
More than I can stand. Why does my heart cry? Feelings I can't find. You're afraid to leave me, but just. Don't deceive me and please believe me when I say I love you. I sound like Ewan McGregor.
Went so
oh my God.
Young.
Poor John, who has to edit this, is like, you cannot put out this podcast.
I thought you meant John. Is he sleeping?
No. Okay. No, John, who edits our podcast.
Yeah, I thought you meant like John.
No, it's just me. You could sleep through that. I do shit like that every day. Every day. Oh, and like, I want.
I'm crying and sweating.
I want him, like, John, my John, to like respond.
Yeah.
He just doesn't anymore.
No.
Like, oh. they're just like, yeah, that's you every day.
I mean, okay, there, and I'm still so mad about this. And actually, wait, how did this happen? Okay, Jake has, where were we? Were we with you? I don't know, but okay, one time I was drunk, Jake was sober, driving me home from the bar.
And we went to McDonald's and we sang Wicked.
Yeah.
We went to Michigan bars.
But then we dropped you off and we were close to our home, but I was listening to Defying Gravity.
Of course.
And I was like, Jake, let me put the windows down and just like, I'm going to try to hit this note.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you just keep driving? Because I just need to do this. And he was like, okay, like unfazed.
Right,
again.
Right.
And he recorded it on his Snapchat.
No.
And where were we? We were just somewhere that, like, we were looking through old Snapchats. Oh, in Honduras. And he kept playing it. And, like, you know, like, when you're singing with a radio, like, you can only hear you.
Yeah, but you also think, like, I got this.
And, like, I haven't been embarrassed in a really long time. And I, like, felt, I pleaded with him. Like,
to stop.
Stop playing it.
Wait, was the last time you felt embarrassed when he took a video of you playing Zelda?
This was worse than that. Because I was so off. I was not, and I was wasted. And like, I thought that was a private moment for him and I of me trying to hit this note.
But no.
Because singing is vulnerable.
It's super vulnerable.
Like, I especially, like, just in that moment when you were singing, I so badly wanted to join, but did not feel
like
enough.
Yeah, you were like.
So I didn't. But like, yeah, I went all out with him, which to me, that's like when you love someone, when you can do that in front of someone.
Oh, yeah. When I tried to sing the harmonies in the car with John, I puked out so hard. And I just laughed and looked at him. And I don't think he took his eyes off the road. He was just like, this is my life.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life.
So anyways, Jake has that and played it. And I fell to my knees. And I'm like,
no. No.
It was so bad. But anyways, I felt a visceral reaction when you were singing that. Because that part of Roxanne is like.
Yeah. I know.
I forget it's Ewan McGregor. His voice is so different in that song.
Yeah.
God, he is.
Well, no, that part that I was singing was him. But the other part is the guy with the beard.
Right. Dude.
I can't remember his name.
I don't want to look up what he looks like now because he was so hot to me in that movie and I think he's aged.
What's his name?
Ewan McGregor.
Oh.
Okay,
I thought you meant the other guy.
Not the tango guy.
Not the tango guy. What was his name, though? I don't remember, but I love that movie so much. Oh, he doesn't look so bad.
Is it, were you looking at a new photo?
These could be old. These could be when he was young.
Yeah, so it's just a bummer that people age. Actually, no, it's not. It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. Ooh, that's not good.
It's like when we looked up Eric Dane.
Oh my God, yeah, listeners, check him out. Don't. You won't want to check him out.
He's like a...
He's white-haired.
Yeah, he just isn't as McSteamy as he used to.
Because... Eric Dane was like in Grace, he was gray, but he's like full white now. Like,
yeah.
He has no, like, salt and pepper.
No.
But you know what? That's okay. But he also had weird-ass glasses on. They looked like transition lenses.
Yeah.
Like, he just looked old. Yeah. I don't know. But his voice sounded like McSteamy.
Yeah, it was perfect. So just close your eyes.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember how we were like, what should we talk about?
Yeah. 80 minutes later. Thanks for listening to The On-Call Room. Now about Moulin Rouge. Ooh, we should do a podcast about Moulin Rouge.
Oh my God.
Who would listen? Or like musicals?
I would. Maybe I'll try to befriend all these people.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we can interview them.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out who's going to be in the Moulin Rouge one and try to find them before they're popular.
That's a perfect idea.
And be like, hi, I have a podcast. It's not about anything to do with musicals, except that it is. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
I tried to hold that off. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Talk us out. Talk us out.
We're going to be right back and take a break.
Okay, bye. Okay, we're back.
This is season 6, episode 5, and episode 6. Invasion?
I saw what I saw.
I don't know why I made invasion a question. Invasion?
Also, I saw what I saw just sounds angry.
I saw what I saw. that's like...
I saw what I saw!
That's like in a fight with your spouse. Like, I saw what I saw. Like, you can't deny it.
Or like, you're like being interviewed for a murder.
Yeah.
I saw what I saw. Okay, so we're going to read the monologues and then we're going to get right in.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
So this is for invasion. When you get sick, it starts off with a single infection, one lone nasty intruder. Pretty soon, the intruder duplicates, becomes two. Then those two become four, and those four become eight. Then before your body knows it, it's under attack. It's an invasion. An alien invasion. The question for a doctor is, once the invaders have landed, once they've taken over your body, how the hell do you get rid of them? What do you do when the infection hits you, when it takes over? Do you do what you're supposed to and take your medicine? Or do you learn to live with a thing and hope someday it goes away? Or do you just give up entirely and let it kill you? Jesus. Meredith Grey. That was not Jesus. That was Meredith Grey.
Jesus. Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
From Cats, the musical. Okay, this one is for I Saw What I Saw, also by Meredith. In order to get a good diagnosis, doctors have to constantly change their perspective. We start by getting the patient's point of view, though they often don't have a clue what's going on. So we look at the patient from every possible angle. We rule things out. We uncover new information, trying to get to what's actually wrong. We're asked for second opinions, hoping we'll see something others might have missed. For the patient, a fresh perspective can mean the difference between living and dying. For the doctor, it can mean you're picking a fight with everyone who got there before you. When we're headed towards an outcome that's too horrible to face, that's when we go looking for a second opinion. And sometimes the answer we get just confirms our worst fears. But sometimes it can shed new light on the problem, make you see it in a whole new way. After all the opinions have been heard and every point of view has been considered, you finally find what you're after, the truth. But the truth isn't where it ends. That's just where you begin again with a whole new set of questions. That reminded me of the time that I was told I needed a crown on my tooth, and I went and got a second opinion.
Because why did you get a second opinion?
Because my friend Bree told me that I should. And then that just became a new journey of my life now.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Getting a second opinion?
Yep.
Always get a second opinion.
I know.
Okay.
Do you want to do this fucking shotgun
workup?
Yeah,
I saw
workup?
This. You want me to? Okay. Shotgun workup.
I had
Jesus
to copy
Christ.
And paste it all.
We have Billy Sheehan. He has contusions, ecchymosis.
Whatever you say is correct.
Burst fracture at T12. Then we have Sarah Fremont. She has end stage renal disease, seizurum, and tostadas. She's having tostadas for lunch.
It says tostadas, but it does look like tostadas.
Like seizurum, like that look,
so
that one looked like a lunch order. Like, yeah, I'll have the end stage renal with seizurum on the side all over a tostada. Thank you.
Please put the seizurum on the side.
Frank Newsbaum, he has stab wounds and pseudo aneurysm. I almost said something else. Then we have Don, and he has a lacerated palm. We have Michael Goldman. He has an adrenal mass, carotid stenosis, expressive aphasia, and subdural hematoma. Fuck! Yeah, I did that one well.
All right, here comes Kathy Becker.
Burns, second degree burn, tension, pneumothorax, pulmonary edema, acute respiratory distress syndrome, fulminoepidermitis, multi-system organ failure, disseminated intravascular coagulation. Fuck. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Then we have Charles Percy. He fainted and he has a scalp laceration because he's an idiot. And then we have Evan Lang, second degree burns and third degree burns. And Roy McEnaw, hip fracture, femur fracture, radius fracture, liver laceration, and kidney hematoma. I didn't do too bad.
No, that was actually, I'm really, the only one you had a hard time with was fulminant rhabdomyolysis.
Which?
Okay. And then we're going to go do some rounds. And
rounds?
There's a lot happening. So
you know what that reminds me of?
What?
The end of the world. Here is the earth. Round.
Round. We should have that bit play.
Yeah.
What else is it? Fire the missiles. Just, yeah.
Zen, take a nap.
Okay. I'm going to go in the order that we're going to talk about stuff.
Great.
So first we're going to talk about Callie's dad showing up and Callie in Arizona. Then we're going to talk about Christina not having a cardio god to work under. Then we're going to talk about Izzy getting fucking fired.
Fired.
And leaving Karev. Bah, 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 bah.
Ooh,
then we're going to talk about Derek stalking Chief again in governance. And then lastly, we were going to talk about the merger and all the new residents. That's going to be the bulk of this conversation.
Invasion.
Yeah.
But first we're going to start with Callie.
Yeah, which, first of all,
happy Pride Month.
It's the end of it, I think, by the time this airs. But I hope it was wonderful.
Absolutely.
Brie and I, after watching this episode, we just, like, there's a lot of times where things happen on this show that we can definitely empathize with, and we definitely feel for these characters, and we love, like, what this show has done for storylines, but we don't necessarily feel like we are able to speak on certain topics.
Right.
And so one of our favorite listeners called in and gave her thoughts specifically on Callie and Arizona's storyline and, like, Callie coming out to her dad and just their whole, like, Arizona's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And she just did such a good job of basically speaking to all of this.
Yeah, and that whole storyline that we decided we're just going to pass it over to her.
Yeah. So she has great thoughts and we're going to share that. It's going to be via voicemail. She did get cut off halfway. So there's a little bit of a weird overlap in between. But we are really thankful for this. And we also feel like if you feel really connected to an episode and you have thoughts on it, we, again, love to play your thoughts. So please just call in if you need to. But this is one of our patrons and avid listeners, and she's going to share a little bit about her thoughts on Callie in Arizona.
Hey, this is Laura. I just wanted to leave a comment about season 6, episode 5. This episode brings up the complicated process of coming out. First, I want to bring up Callie's storyline of coming out later in life. I like the strength with which she defends herself to Arizona and to her father. Later in life, coming out stories are actually really common, and they're not often told. Especially for women growing up in non-accepting environments, people develop internalized homophobia. And even if they accept other people's sexuality and they're like, oh, that's awesome, you're gay, you're bi, you're queer, whatever, and they're totally okay hanging out with them and being friends or dating them, they have a hard time accepting their own sexuality because of the hostility with which they grew up. For me, like, I went to church and was told, you know, that certain, you know, events in the U.S. were caused by gay people existing. And, like, you know, and I had a really hard time accepting my own sexuality. And even though some of my best friends in college were queer. And on top of this, Callie is attracted to men, which I am not. So that makes it even harder because if you do have, like, those feelings, it's easier to just kind of go with it. And it's even harder if you haven't recognized it, obviously. And so Callie makes a point when talking that her family is supposed to love her no matter what. And she's so firm with that. And she basically implies that the burden of explaining or guiding him through his journey to accepting her doesn't fall on her. And I think that's such an important point to make. When you come out to someone, it's not your job to help them with their own feelings about your coming out. They should accept you no matter what. And if they can't, then they should learn why they are homophobic, basically. And take that time themselves. And so I don't know where Callie gets her chutzpah, but she's so strong in this episode and unwavering in her need for her father to accept her, without her, you know, explaining her journey to him. And she also isn't embarrassed by her age at coming out at this point, which is really important. Second point I want to make is Arizona's speech. On the surface, it's about Arizona's father, but to me, it's really about Arizona and how she views coming out. As a young gay, I saw such strength in this story, and I watched it so many times. Arizona came out to her father expecting him to kick her out, and she still decided to come out. She grew up in a very, very conservative world, clearly moving around. She lived on military bases. When we meet her parents later on, they're still pretty unfamiliar with a lot of the LGBTQ world. Her parents in later episodes are not that familiar with the LGBTQ world. And like, they still have like little bits of they're trying to be accepting, but I'm sure that like day to day life that they struggle. And so she came from a conservative world, and it took unbelievable courage for her to come out knowing this about her father and her parents. But she knew it wouldn't change her as a person, that her sexuality does not make her more or less of a moral person, and that it shouldn't change the way that her dad sees her. Arizona is fierce and earnest in this speech, and her quiet words demand to be listened to. I think there's more to her father's acceptance. Perhaps it took longer because she says he is not a man who bends, but he bent for Arizona, just which implies that maybe he wouldn't have accepted her. But Arizona still takes his strength, whether or not he would accept her, and coming out to him as a teen, and now to Callie's dad. So but she has these two things where she's really brave and confronting people who probably wouldn't accept her. She learned from her father to protect the things she loves, and she can be that person, whether she's gay or straight. And there's a simple beauty of her strength in this speech and hope, because she did this twice without knowing the answer. It's not about coming out when you know it will be safe. It's about coming out when you don't know the reaction and knowing that you are not less of a person because their reaction or who you are has not changed. So the speech is pretty damn iconic in the world of queer women. You can look at articles on Autostraddle that mention it. To me, it gave me strength when I came out. I hoped they would bend, but I knew that I would be the same person who loves teaching kids and being positive and trying new things and just being there for the people I love. And that wouldn't change no matter what. So I don't love the episode, but I love this speech.
Okay, so thank you so much for all of that. Was wonderful.
Yeah.
So grateful for your thoughts. I just want to touch on a little bit. I feel like I can't even really dig any deeper, but what I did want to say was I loved when Callie was spitting back a verses to her dad and just pulling like what Jesus said, you know? And her saying like, Jesus is my savior. And I thought it was just really powerful. And I don't know, you know, I guess April has like kind of a storyline about God and Burke does a bit, but I love that this was a part of this storyline because Callie's like, her relationship with God hasn't changed.
Right.
And I think that, and she still has these beautiful scriptures that mean so much to her. And I thought that Sarah Ramirez did a great job like acting in that scene. I thought it was just a really powerful, wonderful scene.
I thought it was, I think it's really important to show
that's her name, right?
Yeah. Things can be synonymous. They don't have to be like, you can't have one without the other.
Right.
Like, I like that she is this character who is like, still has like Jesus as a part of her and also is gay. Like,
yeah.
I thought that I wrote at first, I was like, they're having a Bible off.
Yeah.
and then she like clearly won, but like, yeah, how she was quoting Jesus and all of them. I agree. I really loved that part. And I really loved the question that Arizona's dad, just like the one that replied to her when she like, you know, shared her story, and her dad just said, are you still who I raised you to be? And I just think that that's like I didn't know when she was telling that story, I couldn't remember where that went. Like, what did her dad say to her?
Yeah.
And I appreciated that that is what the question was. I don't have children, but mm-hmm. like, I like would hope that if I do someday that like, you love them no matter what, but you just hope that they are still like who they are at their core no matter yeah. what. And so I just thought that was a really beautiful way of sharing everything. And I loved how it ended with Callie and her dad when he asked, like, does she make you happy? She said, yes. And then, like, the only thing that he wants to compromise on is, like, well, will you still have a wedding? And she's right. like, yeah, I can have a fucking wedding.
Yeah, and, like, do you think children are... Right.
Yeah, it was great foreshadowing because she does have
yeah, a daughter. Yeah, I think... quick turnover. Like, hey, yeah. good for yeah. Princess Diaries.
let's just call them that.
Yeah, for, like, so quickly being able to get it because I think, you know, oftentimes that's not the story with, right. You know, people coming out to their parents. And it some parents never accept it, and some parents it takes a little bit longer. But for the sake of a television show,
yeah.
I was happy to see that they kind of, like, rounded it out and, like, are starting to maybe heal their relationship. Because, too, like, it's very obvious that, like, Callie's relationship with her father is very important.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
when she sees him in the waiting room, she's very happy to see him. And then, mm-hmm. of course, sees her priest in the background and is like, can't pray away the game.
Yeah, bringing them...
So, and him just being like, and like getting up, like, just so bizarre.
Yeah.
But good on Grace for yeah. tackling this.
I loved it. And we are just really thankful for our community, A, of people who are willing to share things.
Absolutely.
And also just for, I feel really happy for all of the members of our group who get to enjoy Pride Month because this is the month for them.
Absolutely.
And I just really love this diverse group of people. And I hope you know that if you're listening to this podcast, all are welcome. And we just love to hear your thoughts and we love to have you be a part of this community. So, and also props to Grey's Anatomy for however many years ago this was having
yeah.
a storyline.
And just trying to have like an inclusive storyline.
Yes. Yes.
100%. And people being able of all different things to be able to relate to like some different character. You know what I mean?
100%. I love it. Yay.
So great.
we're gonna
next.
Move on. Should we talk about Christina?
Yeah, okay. So obviously, like in one of my first notes, I feel like was Christina is going through some shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very obvious. And I think we kind of picked up on that like last episode that like it's been building that she's like trying to like fight for surgeries and stuff, but like you can tell she's a little off. And then when she comes into Meredith's room.
Ugh, it's so fucking, it's what the show is about.
Yeah. And when she said, do you know how long it has been since I've held a heart in my hand? And then when she said, I miss Burke, mm-hmm. and then says that she felt seen. Number one, GGBs, I cried.
Same.
Number two, she is so good at acting because that is what a breakdown looks like.
Yes.
Like when she can't fucking form a sentence. And then when she finally does, and then when she just is like, I miss Burke. And then she's like, not the set. Like,
right.
it's just how you go through a breakdown.
She was processing it as it was
exactly.
like happening. Her cry voice too is like kind of like low and ugly.
Yes.
It's not this like pretty, it's messy. And like,
yes.
again, yeah, that is what a breakdown is. I feel like that's why her acting is so important to me. And so like it hits me so hard is because it feels really real.
Well, and I feel like Christina is very calculated in the OR. She's very precise. And so when we see her character like this, it's like kind of out of character. So I think it makes you feel even more. When I see Izzy act like this, I don't feel as deeply because Izzy's just an emotional character.
Right.
But when Christina's emotional, you know, like she is really going through some hard shit.
Right.
And then I love that Meredith, and we use this term all the time, like literally holds space for her and then physically holds her in bed and just turns on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
That I turned to John when we were watching it and I was like, that is why I love their relationship. Because there's nothing Meredith can say in that moment.
She doesn't. All she says, she's like, come here.
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't think Christina wants her to say anything. And so they just lay in bed together. And that is... such a good friendship, you know?
Yeah, especially because, like, she comes in, Christina, and just starts crying. And Meredith is doing that, like, talk to me. Tell me what happened. What
yeah.
happened? And then she says, nothing happened. But I just, like, then yeah, her ability to hear Christina's situation and not immediately try to fix it.
Yes.
Is something that like I also strive for because I'm a fixer. Like my brain wants to immediately go into like solution mode.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's important. It was important for me to like see this and see that like, oh, all you need to do is like, no one wants to be like, all right, let's step one.
Yeah.
Let's fucking get to action.
Like, not, like you're too raw in that moment. Yes, like. Yes. And anything, I feel like anything you say when you're that emotional, it doesn't, like, it doesn't penetrate.
Right, right.
Like, so often we need to just be like, that fucking sucks.
Right, right.
And then let me hold you.
Right.
And I love, too, because, like, Christina's not a super physical person. And, right. like, so that she wants to, like, snuggle up to Meredith.
No.
Like, she's comfortable around Meredith and, like... And I think this is like kind of the first time we've really talked about Burke. Like she did the whole, you know, she did the whole thing to the board or whatever. Do you remember that? When she like, she cried in front of the board and was like, when Han wasn't letting her work on Hearts or whatever.
Right, right.
And so we kind of talked about Burke then.
What season did Burke leave?
He left Four? At the end of season three.
Three? Holy shit, and it's six.
Yeah. And so, and really since then, Christina hasn't had anyone. She had Han, who wouldn't really let her work on Hearts, and then Dr. Dixon, and then now there hasn't been a cardiothoracic doctor.
Right.
And so, like, it's so, I don't know. It's so obvious to me. I think I really love Christina because she knows what she wants to do. And I don't feel that way about myself. So I'm very drawn to people who are like, I always knew I wanted to be a surgeon.
Right.
Or I always knew I wanted to take photos or something. Right. And are super passionate about it. And so to not be able to do what you know you're called to do would be...
So frustrating.
Devastating.
Yeah, I just... It was such a beautiful moment. And I again, liked that, like... The like how she says she misses Burke, but like it's and immediately you're like, wait, what? But then like immediately she's like, it's not the sex, it's not the like
it's not that. The relationship. It's
it was just
and she felt seen.
Because that's what I was gonna say. Is the writing for there's just a fact about any television show, like some actors are just better than others. Like and that's not like a but like Sandra Oh is fucking phenomenal.
Right.
And like that and also I felt like the writing for her is so good. And like that phrasing, like to say that like she felt seen. I don't know if that's because that's a phrase that gets thrown around now as like something that is to be strived for. But yeah, I texted you when I watched that part because I was just like, oh
yeah.
It just got me. I don't know. It was really beautiful.
Yeah. I thought it was, and we know that like something has to happen in Christina's storyline. Like,
right, but isn't it scary? Because I mean, because this is a spoiler podcast. So like Teddy comes soon.
Right.
But not right away. They're not buddy buddy. And then the shooting happens. And then Christina's like out of it for a while.
At the end of the season.
So when is the like prime time her and Teddy? Is it like next season?
It's next season. Yeah.
Okay. That's a long time since season three that Christina has not had a mentor.
Yeah, it's a really long time.
I didn't realize that this like arc of her storyline is so
although
long.
I think maybe in season six, like she doesn't really like believe in Teddy in the beginning, but then I think she starts to and then the shooting happens.
Okay.
I think that's how it actually plays out.
And then Teddy's husband is next season, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, God.
I also want to say it was really
next cool. season or season eight?
Yeah.
Who knows? Whatever.
Really interesting how they paired this part of Christina and Meredith's storyline up with, like, all of these new people coming. And we'll talk about this when we talk about the merger, but them being so divisive with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here is... you know, Meredith and Christina snuggling in bed together because they're that close. And even to think about, like, I guess I'm going to save this part because this is a big thing I want to talk about, the merger.
I don't really have anything else about Christina not having... I just feel bad for her.
Yeah, and we'll talk about... So the second episode, episode six, is the one where, like, there is a patient that you don't know which one it is at first that died and they don't know whose patient it was and they're trying to narrow it down and they kind of work backwards from there. So when we talk about this episode, we're going to just basically talk about all of the characters and how they react to things.
Right.
So Christina was a part of it, but she wasn't really like...
But she wasn't like the chart was handed to her first and she immediately handed it off.
Right. So
And it's funny, though, you can see, like, how Christina responds is, like, this is not my fault.
Yeah, she knows right away.
Yeah. Well, and I just don't think she wants to be blamed for something that Christina is always that way.
Right. The one thing I will say about Christina, since we're still on her in that episode, is the part where Lexi's like, Dr. Yang was making a toddler cry.
Yeah.
And then at first I was like, oh, of course she was. But then when you see that, it's because the toddler was about to grab the fucking, what are they called? Like the
defibrillator things, yeah, yep.
thing. And she's like, put that down. And I'm like, I would have reacted the same way.
Yeah.
And then she also hits that.
Yeah, I have Yang punching that dude's chest.
Fucking dope.
Amazing. Yeah. Like, oh.
And cool. Owen's like, or that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I would hope that if I was ever dying, there would be a Yang around to punch me in the chest.
Absolutely.
Also, there's a quote. I'm just finishing up my Christina notes. In the beginning, I think it's when all the new people are arriving. And I don't know where I wrote, LOL, Christina, that's how we do it on this side of town. She, like, says that. She does something and then says that.
So
should we move on?
Yeah.
Izzy. Or should we talk about get Derek over with?
Let's get, like, I just, mostly I want to say that, like, Derek is just kind of constantly lurking over Chief. And then at the end of the second episode, he does say some pretty good things. Like, Derek tells Chief that, like, you should look again at who's responsible for, like, the death of this patient, because, like, this is how you're running your hospital. And shit has been chaos since this merger or whatever. So it's not really the doctor's fault. Like, it's your fault, Chief. But I also wrote, like, why is Derek just sitting in there
in
with
that
Chief?
Office? Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just randomly in there after this, like, whole investigation goes on. And then it just pans to, like, Derek in a chair looking at Chief as he's packing up.
It's weird because, like, Derek is the head of neuro, but he doesn't have any other roles.
Yeah, I just don't, like... It's very obvious, like, in the writing that they needed someone to kind of, like, point out to the viewers, like, Chief is fucking up. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it makes more sense to use one character,
right.
Derek. But it's just funny that he's always just, like, on Chief's shit. Like,
also, the way that he reacts to, or the way he talks and interacts with Chief is so different than he does with other people.
Yes.
Like, because he had some really sweet moments with Meredith, even, like, at the end of the, like, episode 6, when, like, all that crazy shit was happening and Mare finally gets discharged. And she's
right.
like, what happened today? And he just is like, nah, you don't want to know. But,
yeah.
like, kisses her on the head. Mm. And, like, I just feel like him and Mare are in such... And they play the Mare Dare music. And, like,
yeah.
and she... he visits her and asks if she's having the dark and twisties. And I just feel like they're in such a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he very much recognizes her. But then he, like, is just a madman.
He is out of control when it comes to Chief.
Is and it just because, like, he was offered the job?
Maybe, I don't know, and he's always just leaning back. He's leaning on a wall. He's leaning in a chair.
He's
like, he has his legs
cocky.
Out. Yeah. Yes, his body language is very, very cocky. I can't wait to see the promo photos for, like, the stills. I'm sure it's just cocky Derek everywhere.
Him in dark corners.
Yeah, just lurking. He's a lurky lurk in these.
Okay.
So that's all I really had to say about that. But that's obviously definitely coming to a head soon, too. Like, we're building something
towards
up
that,
here.
Yeah.
Izzy, shit, dude. Okay, first of all, is Izzy's hair a wig?
I think so. It has
okay.
to be. Yeah.
All right. Good. Great.
Wanted I know. It's like, kick her while she's down.
Dude, it's not. And it sucks because, like, Alex was just trying. Like, he was, like, trying to support Izzy and look out for her when he was talking to Chief.
Yeah.
Like, actually advocating for her not to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
But when Chief ends up firing Izzy, like...
Which she gets fired.
Yeah,
because,
let's back up.
Yeah, so let's talk about Charles Percy a little bit. Because
he is a douche.
Okay, but at first, this is what I wrote. Because I forgot how this plays out. And I was, so far, I like Charles or Percy, whatever his name is.
Oh,
I
did.
Actually think he'd be a nice human. And it was, like, minutes later that the scene is where he calls her his bitch.
Yeah, his surgical bitch.
Yeah. And I, because, like, there's that part where he finds out she has had cancer. Then he shares that he's in love with Reed, which that part's true. Like,
right.
That
yeah.
is, like, not a lie. And they're having such good rapport. And I was really, like... Because I really didn't remember how this went. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, A, this is when Izzy can shine because she is the person that will not get into those competitive modes right away and will
yeah.
see people for just being people. And I was like, this is a beautiful thing. Like, I like him. This is great. Like, maybe he'll be her new George. I literally forgot how this all went. Mm-hmm. And then when he has that fucking conversation with his coworkers, I was just furious because, like, Izzy might not be our favorite character, but she also tends to be, like, a super vulnerable character a lot, where I think she, like, puts herself out on the line and just is... I don't think she, like, tries to play a game. She's just kind of who she is, especially right now.
And yeah.
It was just sad to see her, like, try to be a friend to this person and then get fucking stepped on.
Yeah, and, like, give the code and, like... And she brought him coffee and he just was a fucking dick. Like... There's no other way. Like, I feel like, and we'll get into, like, the merger and the different new, like, the new characters, but I feel like, you know, our original interns could be shitty to each other, but, like, the whole theme was, like, they've always had each other's backs.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I believe that that's how they've played this out. And, like, I can't imagine one of our original interns. Maybe Alex in the beginning saying something like that about George, but he would say that to George's face.
Right,
you know,
right,
like he right. wouldn't like talk behind his back in that way. I don't know.
And well, then Izzy, when that happens and then he drops the coffee or she drops the coffee on his foot.
Yeah.
Too. Then she gives that speech and she says, and
calls out to
so
George.
Fucking raw that George just died.
Yeah.
Yeah. She says, you will never measure up to the people we've lost. And like, it sucks that, like,
people.
Those,
she said something about people who jump in front of buses.
Yes, for, so we jump in front of buses for each other.
Yeah.
We have GGBs. Because, like, these new characters, they never knew George.
Right.
And that's really sad. And, like, they also, I did not realize they acted with Izzy. Like, it's weird that, like, Avery and Izzy were once on the show together. But I just, like, Izzy to me is so raw. She still misses George so much. And then they're being such dicks. And her speech. As much as Izzy can be annoying, she has good speeches sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, yeah, you will never measure up to the people we've lost is so true. They're such ride or die friends at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because
they've been through so much together.
And even Charles said, like, sorry, that's just, like, when he went to apologize later, he was like, we're just not like that with each other. And
yeah.
It's like, that sucks for you. Also, welcome to Seattle Grace.
Yeah, like, this is how we are here.
So then their patient starts not doing well.
Well, and so Izzy's all frazzled and she gives the wrong medication.
Which is, like, this is one of those hard things. Oh, yeah, so that patient can't get a kidney, which
right.
we don't know if she lives or dies.
We don't know.
But
I wrote, fuck, that is an intense Bailey teaching moment. And Izzy fucked up bad. Like, you can tell this is not a normal, like, Izzy fuck up. Like,
no.
It's bad.
Right, and so it's I feel like it's hard because we're sad she's being fired. But also, like, it's justified. Like,
yeah.
It's just shitty because it doesn't have anything to do with her cancer or, like, her
right.
what she's just been through. She just made a mistake.
And it came at a time that already people are, their jobs are on the line. And it's like, she's like, I caught an LVAD wire and I got to come back. And he's like, it's not.
Different times.
Yeah. And it's so sad when she's just like, please don't do this to me. Like, this is all I have left.
And
which is sad, too, because
she
Alex.
She has Karev. But I think she's already, like, checked out of that. Like,
yeah.
And it's, like, it's also sad because Chief, just before that, was being basically coached that, like, you can't be personal with these people.
Right.
You have to use the script when you fire them.
Right.
And so I feel like this is the first repercussion of, like, he probably wants to say so much more.
And he can't.
And she doesn't know that he has to do that.
Right.
And, yeah.
Chief has to stick to the script.
So did I. And it's the line when she says, please don't do this to me.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're right, though. It is sad that she says she has nothing when, like, she does have Karev.
Yeah, and I mean, she's obviously still grieving George.
Right.
Like, even if we're not talking about it in the show, that was one of her best friends.
Right.
And her marriage is complicated because of that, and it's, and she's living with cancer. Like, it's all really complicated. Quite frankly, like, she shouldn't be working, probably. Like, she
right.
should be taking a leave, maybe, but she can't because of this. Because of this fucking merger.
Do you think that she, like, married Karev thinking she was going to die?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so, too.
And I don't know that they would have made it had she not had cancer. Like, I don't know storyline or, like, let's call this a real universe. You
right,
know, like,
right.
I don't think they would have ended up making it.
No. Like, I think they might have gotten engaged, but maybe never then got married. Like, it's really sad though, because I feel like once they got married, like, Karev never intended on dying because he was not sick. So his motives going into it is like, this is my life. Whereas Izzy, I feel like, thought she was going to die.
Right.
And so it's sad to see like the different ways that it affects them. It's just fucking rough.
And also, then she fucking left with a fucking note.
Also that scene. So like we have Meredith and Christina cuddling in the hospital bed together, which is so sweet. And now like our last remaining intern, because Izzy is now gone away for right now and George is dead. Are we missing anyone? No.
You mean intern? Oh yeah.
No, the original five.
Yeah. Right?
Karev goes in to the only people that he knows.
I know.
To go to help. And also like doesn't even know how to ask for it. And he just keeps saying like, Izzy left me. She wrote a note. I don't know if she's coming back. And again, he is so good at sad acting too. Like,
dude, when Meredith says go hug him and when Christina goes to hug him and he backs away and then they all just, she just stands there. It's such good acting because he's like, I don't want to be touched. Like, I don't know what.
He's like very raw.
Like he doesn't know what to do and they all just like are in fucking shit together. Like Christina's in shit, Karev's in shit. Meredith just gave up a part of her liver. Oh, it's so sad.
It is. And again, like it's just so contrasted to how the other new people are acting with each other.
Yeah.
It's just, like I guess it gives me a lot of hope in this show that like now that we're seeing what's happening in season 15 or whatever, that like Meredith and Alex's relationship started a long fucking time ago.
It started in season one, man.
Yeah, like and so it's really like encouraging for me to like see that like all these parts of it. But this is like when Karev, I mean, he already had problems and I know he's problematic, but like this is when like I feel like he became even more of a cynic.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause who does
he left a fucking note.
Who's the next person he gets with Joe?
Probably. I don't think he has anyone in between.
I don't think he does.
Which it's also so sad to skip ahead to season or episode six when like he's clearly not on his game because he's trying to call Izzy.
Right.
And that part when he finally talks to her, which I wish we could hear her side of it, but we don't. And then he ends up hanging up the phone to go do the crike or whatever it's called. And then when he's talking to Chief in the interview and he goes, I got off the phone. And then he like, it hits him and he repeats it and he's like, I got off the phone. Like, he doesn't have her number. He doesn't have any way of contacting her again.
Yes, exactly.
I thought that was really sad when he realizes that, like, I closed the conversation.
Right.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And she comes back to say goodbye, right? That's, like, her last.
She comes back, I think, to kind of ask for forgiveness and, like, almost try and ask him. I think she asks him to try and, like, try again. And he's
so she
really
a few more episodes.
No, she doesn't come back for a couple episodes.
But then, because I know the scene when they're in the locker room.
That's the scene I'm talking about.
But she leaves him. I thought.
No, he leaves her in that scene because he's like, I'm happy to see that like you're okay and you're doing well or whatever. But like,
she has hair then, so time must have passed. Also,
she has
short hair.
Yeah, but she's like, but he's like, I can't, like, pretty much I can't do this. Because she brings her teacher in.
Mm. For some reason, I feel like she still leaves and there's, like, I have to look it up. I can't remember. I watched it recently on YouTube. I don't know why I was in a hole.
Yeah, I don't know what, scene you're talking about.
I just remember it being sad.
Oh, it's very sad. I mean, it's not, like, happy.
But so is Izzy only in one more episode?
I think so, yeah. Because I think she's gone because, like, I think Karev calls her and wants to make sure she's taking her meds and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then she shows up with her doctor who has like a brain tumor or something. Mm. I don't know. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Whatever.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That we lose George and Izzy so fast.
So quickly. And then
I don't have anything else on the two of them.
I don't think I do either. So really the next thing, like this is like the bulk of our conversation.
Yes.
I want to say my first note is Jackson's in orange scrubs, baby. You know?
I go, OMG weird. And then I wrote, I'm actually excited for this.
Yeah. Like it, and like those, first of all, those orange scrubs are terrible. And they're that like orange blackout thing.
Yeah. This is like, these are episodes that I don't know that I've seen twice.
Ooh.
Because like, like seeing early April Kepner and early Jackson.
She looks so young.
Oh, so young. I didn't remember any of that. Like, okay. I remember this episode, but I do not think I've seen these twice.
So we're getting into that part now.
Wait, I lied. I've seen them when they were live, and then I'm pretty sure I saw them like once in a watch through.
Yeah, but
that
not.
That was years ago.
Yeah, so we're like getting into the stuff that you're not going to quite remember.
Yes, which is why I'm very confused about things.
Yeah.
But it's really, these are like, I mean, I love watching the earlier episodes, but this is exciting to me because I don't remember it.
Yeah, totally.
I'll just can't believe Jackson is so hot. They're so young. He's fucking like very Owen-like, like very extreme.
Oh yeah. Like ridiculous when he like grabs that like.
He tackles that dude.
Tackles that dude and everyone's clapping for him.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is going on?
Also, let's talk about Jackson real quick. Let's just kind of go through, because there's not that many. No one knows that he is a Avery.
Right.
Which is interesting also.
Yeah. He has millions and millions, bajillions of dollars.
Right. He's just a new surgeon. Are they at the same level that like?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay.
And then we got Percy. We touched a little bit on him.
I'm trying to see if I have anything else on Jackson, really.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I just want to go through each one. No, I mean, he tackles a dude and then he stabs the lady in the throat because Lexi was taking too long.
Yeah, her
Which,
lung.
Interesting to
her
see them interact because lung. Don't they end up hooking up Lexi and Jackson?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. I was really paying attention to every interaction April and Jackson had.
Oh,
because it's
yeah.
weird to watch this and be in my head, I'm like, oh, you guys don't know what a history you're gonna have.
I'm gonna say it now on the podcast. I still think April and Jackson should have ended up together.
Yeah, it was fucked.
I still think, like, I think they're like the fuck. I think Owen and Christina should have ended up together. They're like those like fucked up loves that like just get each
it's
other.
It's the problem of when they kick people off shows.
Exactly.
Like, but yeah, I agree with you. And like, so I tried to pay attention. I've noticed it right away. Them interacting is super weird. And then the number one thing is like right at the end when after April's fired, Jackson is like, where's April? Like he's concerned about mm-hmm. where she is. And I really wonder if when they went into this, they didn't have that storyline written yet because they don't really, you know, like.
Oh, I don't think they did because that wasn't written until, that was like season 9.
Yeah, because like I feel like even like Lexi and, Izzy and Karev had sort of scenes together where you're like, ooh, are they going to end up together? Like early on, because I think it was thought out, but I don't think it was with these guys.
Well, no. And I wonder too, if they didn't think that maybe these characters would, how long they'd stay on. I mean, we lose two of them this season.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know,
I feel like they're testing the waters.
Right. Right. Reed seems terrible.
Yeah. So Charles loves her, which is one thing, but she's just who she's working with Karev. Right. And they're kind of, oh, I wrote that Karev like reverts back to season 1, correct?
Yes.
When he's with her, which is how he interacted. Again, like when he doesn't know you and you don't have a rapport, he's an asshole.
Yeah. I love, so they're working together, like little side storyline and being terrible.
Just terrible
and
bedside manner.
I want to say that woman it's her father that they're mm-hmm. working on, that is Luke Dane's sister from Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
And she is so right when she says you're supposed to be healers. And they're being so terrible in front of their patients and the families. And it's like super inappropriate. Also, like, where's their attending? Like,
yeah,
they're
right.
just like, it's very bad. Speaking of attendings, I want to quickly just say, why is Owen Hunt so into these new residents?
I don't know. Why is Owen Hunt not giving Christina but
like,
surgeries?
But do you notice that? Like, every new resident, he's like, oh, they're great. Yeah, nice job, Avery.
He's, like, so afraid of playing favorites that he favorites the people that he shouldn't.
Yeah. And then I thought about it. I was like, I wonder if he feels that way because he's
new
kind of
also?
New, too.
Probably.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
There's also a part when Jackson calls everyone douchey, like towards the end. Where is this? He like refers to like everyone at Seattle Grace as douchey, and I just wanted to be like, you'll own this hospital someday.
Yeah.
like just calm down. We kind of talked about Charles already. He's just like walking around like an idiot with a laceration on his head.
Yeah. I think I didn't like Charles in the beginning because I knew about the Izzy thing.
Yeah.
And you couldn't remember that. But I knew, I was like, you're a fuck boy. Like, you're a fucking dick.
Which then he has a fucking terrible death.
Like, yeah. Oh, like, yeah. It's terrible.
Do we end up liking him before he dies?
I don't know, but we definitely feel bad for him at the end. For sure.
It's real rough. It's the elevator one, right?
Yeah.
Like with Bailey.
With Bailey. Yeah. Yeah. And Mandy Moore.
Oh, she got her acting career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I at first I was really sad because I was like, oh, there's a nice one. And then no.
No.
But even Jackson isn't that likable yet. He's just
no, he's not.
Stabbing people.
Yeah. But it's very obvious. Well, like we can start like the beginning of the first episode or that we're talking about starts in Meredith's hospital room and everyone's freaking out about like yes. these people. And it's so funny. Like when the one guy's like, if I have to become a coroner.
Oh yeah. I wrote that too. Like that's what he thinks his life is going
to
be.
Yeah. And Meredith has to give him like a Bailey teaching moment about like, Alien, the movie, like referencing that, and
meanwhile,
just,
she has a braid in her hair.
Yeah, that's a like random note I have. Is Mare's hair looks amazing for sitting in a hospital bed? Like
she's never braided it. Like
no, that. She has one random
it's like a
braid,
loose boho braid.
Yeah, it's really cute. But she's like, get out there, get those surgeries, and so everyone's like fighting to the death in this episode with the invasion, and then we go to the second episode and. The point that I think Derek tries to make to Chief at the end is like, I walked into the trauma room and no one was working together. It was fucking chaos.
And you created this.
And yeah, and that is how, and that's how I felt these two episodes. Like I felt like no one was working with the residents. They were kind of running their own shit and no one was communicating. And I think that I had a hard time. I was like, how are we going to talk about this second episode? Because it was very different than any Grey's episode we usually watch. But I think really the point they were trying to make is no one's communicating.
Right.
Everyone's passing this patient off and no one is working together.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. It would. I mean, it's exactly like what happens when you mix another group of people that don't know each other and they're competing with each other.
Right. And, like, don't tell them about, like, hospital policies, like, how we, like, even the thing with, like, in the trauma where, like, Jackson was like, we do zones or whatever. And, like, Owen's like, oh, I like that idea. Do it. It's like, that's not how you run a fucking ER.
Yeah, all I wrote.
Because I know.
I think at the end of this, my note was, like, I hope I would never go to this. Oh, yeah. Basically, what I'm getting out of this is that I would never go to this hospital is what I
know.
Yeah, it was just chaos and someone lost their life.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's shitty that, like, I get why it was. Well, let's talk about April really quick.
Sure.
And get to that. First of all, I wrote, this is really curious that they're pairing April with Lexi because I feel like they have a lot of similarities. Like, mm-hmm. they both are very much, I mean, like, Lexi's got her visual memory thing, but, like, April's super smart. Like, they're both, like, textbook.
Yes.
Smart and like they're.
And kind of like spazzy.
Yeah, a little spazzy and also like self-conscious.
Yes.
And so it was interesting that Lexi felt this like one up on her because it was her home turf.
Right.
When like Lexi doesn't normally act that way.
Not at all.
And so the patient is the one that like kind of gives her the pep talk that makes her steal that book.
Right.
That April's like writing on it by her face.
Like, yeah.
But then I just thought it was fucking, because Lexi was just as self-conscious as April was when she started. And mm-hmm. I just thought it was, I mean, that's why they did it, but it was really sad when she like read her shit.
Yeah. And I wrote that was super mean and very out of character for Lexi. And I like that they circled back to that where Lexi was like, I fucked up. I'm sorry. And I like crossed a line that I shouldn't have. And I appreciated that Lexi did that because she realized like, wait, this isn't me. Like I don't behave in this way. When she just calls her out, like says all of her little things. And like, then she comes back and realizes that like when April was writing those things, those like mantras to herself, she was crying when she was writing them. And right. like, that was how she was trying to get through. Her therapist probably was like, take a book and write down like positive affirmations.
Right, right.
You know, and then Lexi used that against her.
Yeah, it was fucking terrible. And also just to me showed how much April's grown. Like,
yes,
from the April that leaves the show to the April that like arrived on this show.
Yeah.
And I also like, okay, there's like a part of me that feels like I can say that what Izzy did is justified for being fired. And for April's thing, it for some reason feels less justified. Part of me wonders if just because like I have no medical knowledge. And so I'm like, well, shouldn't everyone look in the throat when, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's such like a minor thing. It's just weird. I have to remember, I don't quite remember how she comes back other than I think she worked on a farm in between.
But I think that is different, a different time she gets fired. She doesn't pass her boards. And so
she gets fired twice.
Yeah, that's what we were all talking about. So she doesn't pass her boards and that's when she goes back to work on the farm. But I think Derek asks her to come back when he becomes chief.
Oh, it's almost like a fuck you to chief.
Yeah.
I also wrote that this episode was like, remember that Law and Order one that I didn't finish watching?
Yes.
This reminded me of that.
Yeah. So listeners, I will just say that I have multiple notes in here like, fuck, this is confusing. Wow, this storyline is very odd. Oh my God, what's happening? But like, I remember really liking this episode because it's like a mystery episode,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But like, liking it more like the second or third time I saw it because I still was like, ooh, what happened? But now right. I'm like, I know exactly what happens.
Right.
So it loses a little bit of its luster. And also I was like, how are we even going to talk about this? But it is funny. Grey's definitely like tried a thing.
Yeah.
You know, like a new, like, let's write something like this. And
I literally did not remember who got fired and who died.
You didn't?
Not till like that girl
started. Or like why she died.
Yeah. Like I was like on the edge of my seat when fucking, oh, another thing about Reed. She throws her coworkers under the bus.
Yes.
I don't think any of the other interns, like the group, like not Grace Sloan Memorial. What is it called? Seattle Grace would have done that.
Yeah. Because she's like, I know what happened.
Yeah, because it would have been like the LVAD thing where they all admit that they don't know.
Or that like, I didn't look in her throat. I didn't look in her throat. You know,
right,
like
right.
It does suck because like you kind of said, like, shouldn't everyone, but probably not. I don't know. What I did love though at the end is everyone's like, fuck April. Where's April? Blah, blah, blah. I loved that Christina stood up for April. And
like that could have been any of us.
Yeah. And she was right to do that. Like people like make mistakes and people fuck up. And this one, like, unfortunately lost.
They got caught.
Yeah.
What she said. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like she pretty much says like none of us were on our game today. Like we all made mistakes today. And this one just happened
to die.
Yeah. So I appreciated that Christina was the one who said that. And then, yeah, it's just so random. Like, it's like she gets fired. And it's funny now because we know she's on the show for like 15 more seasons or whatever.
Do you think that was pre-thought out?
I don't know. I really.
Or do you think like fans liked her and then, you know what I mean? I don't think so.
Because she comes back this season.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think she comes back pretty soon. So, yeah, I think that was.
I also, it's weird watching this. I feel like excited about it. And I don't know if it's because like April and Jackson, I like they're characters that I really enjoy.
Yes.
And I now think of as like Grey's regulars.
Right.
And so them being like, sometimes when new characters come on, I'm like, ugh. But like this one I feel stoked for because we know they're going to be on here forever.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Except for fucking Percy. Also, I like that Derek referred to him as, or someone did, that big guy that I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think that was Owen.
Oh, yeah. He was like, I don't know, that big guy that I don't know.
And this is one of those episodes, they don't do this often, but it's like a one storyline. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's only a handful of those in Grey's Anatomy where you're like, this, we're focusing on one
thing.
Yeah.
Yep. It was weird that like they had that 19-year-old making out with that old guy and
yeah.
Nothing happened after that. No closure on that storyline.
Yeah, that was really weird. Burn victims are so fucking sad. Did you find my dad? That was like so fucking sad.
Which, okay, why did the fireman think that he killed the guy? So Roy,
I think he like fell out of the window.
So he
or
couldn't
something.
Save him?
Yeah. Okay, something like that.
Because he was so upset. He's like, no, I did it. Like, I whatever. And I was like, what's this mystery? And then it never... So did he try to save the guy, but then fell? Because he kept saying he was on fire.
Like, yeah, so I think so.
Like, he just didn't get to him.
I think so.
Okay.
But, like, burn victims? Holy shit, dude.
It was a rough episode to watch with Jake, who wants to become a firefighter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, ooh, a little bit of a rough... Is Evan, is that the guy's name?
I'm not sure.
I think so. He's a good actor. The guy that was, like, burnt.
Did Jake feel feelings?
He was just, like, shocked.
Yeah.
Also,
well, you gotta recognize that that's...
I loved that Mark, when he gives that thing where he, like, has Lexi smell something that, like, to, like, snap her out of it. Do you remember that? He, like, held a Q-tip.
I think it helps with the smell of burning flesh.
Yeah, I think so too.
But yeah.
I appreciated how he treated her.
Oh, yeah.
In that. And then I mean, Arizona gives her that speech, which is deserved. And then I loved when she comes back and is like a whole new person.
Yeah. I said,
she's a good doctor.
She broke down and I was like, good. She needed to step out. But I did write that Arizona had a Bailey teaching moment to Lexi. Yep.
She has a lot of those. She's very senior.
Like, yeah. And I agree. Like, you know, like Lexi had to fucking not, like, you don't get to feel anything because he's feeling everything.
Yeah, that line was
yeah,
really good.
Like, pretty much shut it down. Like, yeah. That's why you're a doctor. You have to shut this down right. And, like, go feel something right. Later on.
I think she needed to hear that too.
Yeah.
I have a funny random note of, like, somewhere in the beginning of episode 5, Chief must say, like, I have two I have two hospitals to run. And I just wrote in all caps, Chief has two hospitals to run, baby. Like, he can't do this.
I think, I wrote that too. Chief has two hospitals to run. I also have a note where I don't remember. He just said it really weird. When you saw her when she was dying, like, he got, like, really.
Yeah, that interview.
And I also wrote, just so people understand, I have a note. I feel like I can't even take notes about the storyline because it's going so fast. Like, that second episode, there was just so much happening because they were, like, repeating storylines.
Right.
So you would, like, be like, whoa, what's going on? And then you'd see it from Christina. Yeah, and then you'd see it from Christina's viewpoint. And so it was just, like, all repeating itself, and it felt like this crazy puzzle.
That's probably what it felt like to Chief.
It probably what it felt like to film it, too.
Yeah.
Or
write it.
Yeah.
Also, just a note, when Brie and I were taking notes in our Google Doc, we were both in there at the same time, and we kept replying. She would, like, reply to a note that I wrote. I was, like, an hour behind.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, I go, this is, like, some fucking Jumanji or a Ouija board. And she goes, for sure, some Wiccan shit. And then she goes, bye. And we typed to each other in the Google Doc.
Yeah, I think there was one.
It was funny. You replied to one of my notes.
Yeah, I was, like, stressed out about something, and then I knew, it was like, God, this is such a confusing story. I'm having such a hard time following this. And then I don't know if you wrote this. I feel like you do. I knew it would be confusing when I wrote all the patients down. There are 100. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
You're just typing to each other in Google Docs while also texting each other. But it's weird when you're in Google Docs because you see the person typing it out. It's super weird because I was watching the show and then I looked down and I saw someone typing, hi, Brie. And I was like, what the fuck is that? But then it was
you. Because I was writing notes under yours. When you would type your notes, it would push mine down and I would have to keep scrolling back up. But yeah, it was just funny. But about the patients, yeah, because I write down the patients before I watch it just so I have it all set up.
Yeah.
And I was like, there are so many patients.
There were so many patients. Oh, did you notice too, in the second episode, they're in the invaders are in blue scrubs now.
Oh, I guess I didn't even realize that.
Also, in the first episode, Mark wasn't even in it.
Oh, weird.
Like, he was not in the last episode. Meredith has not been in, like, any of the episodes, and you have pointed out that she is pregnant. Mm-hmm. So
it's really fun to... We should make a time where we talk about all the things they put in front of her belly.
Yeah.
This time when she was wheeled out was a giant purse, which looked like she would not use. Like, it's a massive purse.
And I love when Bailey goes to, like, sign her papers. She just goes, go home. And Meredith is totally out of the loop of what is going on.
She's been waiting all day.
Yeah.
Fucking little braid. We have a lot of notes in trivia. Do you have any, like, random stray thoughts about the episode? Like, I guess going back, I'm going to speak about the second one in the sense of, because when I watched it, I didn't remember. And it was very exciting.
It is an exciting episode.
I don't remember Current Grays being that like, yeah.
I will say that Krev looked crazy cutting her neck. He was like,
under the karate.
And then, yeah. And then someone said that he looked pale, shaky, and unsteady. And I think that was my only other thing, really. Just a lot of storylines, but I enjoyed it. Oh, also, there are a lot of Greg Laswell songs in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
There was another one.
There was good music in these ones.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Oh.
Oh, I also thought it was really funny when they said, when they realized, oh my God, they don't eat lunch. Because they're all having lunch and none of them are like the new residents are around.
I had a note about that too.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. One more thing. I love that last week we talked about how Chief sent out mass emails to fire people. And we talked about how that was crazy. And then we couldn't believe it.
It got
brought up in this episode that she's actually filing for wrongful termination. Someone is because they got... She was pregnant and she got fired in an email. And I was like, thank God they brought that up.
I wrote that too because I thought it was fucking bullshit that that's how he did it.
Yeah.
Which, it's all setting it up for him to have to fire Izzy using a script. And
Right.
I wonder if it had been different if he could have just been dad mode Chief.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very mind blown that that's the last episode of Izzy being a doctor.
Yeah. I know.
It's weird to know the backstory of like Katherine Heigl was not pleasant. We should maybe talk on that on a different episode.
Sure.
Because like we did with the George one, how that all went down. But because like, I feel like sometimes you can tell when someone is let go from a show, not on good terms.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sandra Oh versus everyone else that's been let go. Like,
right.
It makes a difference.
Yes.
Because I feel like their storyline gets kind of like cut.
Right.
Like in the middle of something. Like I don't feel like Izzy had an arc and that it was closed.
No. She just like got fucking fired.
Right. And left her husband
We've been like working on their relationship. And
their marriage was like the most exciting episode of last season.
Right. We loved it. We gave it 10 out of 10 scalpels.
Right. So it's annoying as a viewer because I get upset that like that can have an effect on how how the characters that I love are written. But also, I mean, it is what it is. But you can tell that I feel like she was let go from this show or asked to leave and it went quick.
Yeah. Like, quickly wrote her off the show.
Yeah, in
the
easiest merger? Fired.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah, fired. So, I don't know. Do you have any other notes?
Nope, not really. Do you?
Nope. I just have a lot of... I'll read the first notes in trivia.
Okay.
So, these are super interesting. So, the first one for Invasion. The episode's title originated from the song Invasion, originally sung by Isley. I love Isley.
I love Isley.
They harmonize so well.
They're so beautiful.
There's one
song, I like being in nature and listening to Isley.
There's one Isley song, I'll have to find it and send it to you, that I've always wanted to do a duet with, even though because it's just...
Is it I Wasn't Prepared?
No, it's a different one. Oh. I can't remember what it's called. I'll know it when I see it. Episode scored 13.79 million viewers. The filming took place around August 31st, 2009.
Cool.
Richard mentioned in a staff meeting in the previous episode that the Mercy West staff would arrive in 3 days. So there's a 3-day gap in between this episode and the previous one. This episode, Segus. What's that word?
I don't know. Say goose. Say boo.
Oh, wait. It's segues. Neither of us knew.
Is that how you spell segues? I think I'm just thinking of like segues, you know?
I know that that's a word, like it segues into.
But that's how you spell segues? This episode, segues.
Oh, I'm embarrassed. It's recorded.
It's fine. I sang like half of the intro, so.
This episode segues into the private practice episode right here, right now. What does that even mean? Does it have to do with it? Or is it just because it was next on TV? This is a stupid note.
Why would you use the word say goo? It's not even a word.
Say goo. This episode, I was just feeling French after all your French.
This episode, segues.
That can't be how you spell segues.
No, it can't be. I'm looking it up right now. Segues. Move. No, that's how you spell it.
Oh, it is. Okay, great. Now I know. This episode marks the last episode in which Izzy Stevens is part of the hospital staff and thus the last time she's seen in scrubs.
Oh, so we were right.
The idea of the priest tagging along to pray away the gay was made up by Shonda. Well, okay. Doesn't she come up with all of the ideas? Mark Wilding originally wrote that Carlos Torres, who is Callie's dad, quoted the Bible from the top of his head, but Hector Elizondo found it more fitting for his character that he used index cards.
That's funny.
I didn't even realize that. Also love that, because I feel like it would be in his character to try prepared these index cards.
That's so good. God.
God. You can do the next one.
Also love that Callie recited shit off the top of her head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so second episode. This episode title originated from the song I Saw What I Saw, originally sung by Sarah Groves. This episode scored 15.4 million viewers. Oh, quite a bit more than last week.
Yeah.
Even though she's credited, Katherine Heigl didn't appear in this episode, making it the first episode without her. Oh.
Weird.
She wasn't in there.
Mm-mm.
Dude, I didn't.
Sad?
Yeah. 1 week has passed since Invasion. Meredith mentioned that in the episode that the Mercy West staff would get blue scrubs in a week, which they were wearing now. Alex also said it's been a week while leaving a message on Izzy's voicemail. Meredith gets discharged from the hospital at the end of the episode. She gave a piece of her liver to her father in tainted obligation. And this was supposed to be Sarah Drew's final episode as Dr. April Kepner, but on the day of broadcast of this episode, Sarah received news that the show wanted her back.
What
interesting.
A life-changing phone call to get.
Seriously. And
then to find out that they're going to kick you off.
Then they kick you off later. Yeah.
I still don't get why.
I don't know. I just don't think there was really anything left for April to do.
Except be with Jackson.
Be with Jackson. And I don't think they wanted them to end up together. They wanted Jackson and Maggie.
I know. I hate it.
Lame. Harper Avery, I said Callie for telling her dad what's up.
And she didn't fuck up the second part of the episode. She was in no part a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. What if I was like, Meredith, for just playing it cool.
Just laying in bed.
I also think Callie should win. I would like to also just as a second place, I like just Christina knowing what she wants.
Yeah. But I'd also give a third place to Meredith for just like being there for Christina.
I mean, pretty much every episode and Christina get a vote for just being the best.
And like pep talking her people to like get out there and fight for surgeries.
Yes.
But mostly Callie.
Yeah, I'm voting Callie too, for
great.
Sure. And Arizona for like supporting her in that.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7 out of 10 scalpels.
I am giving it a 6.5 out of 10.
So on par for us.
Scalpels. Yeah, I think maybe a year ago I would have given it a 7 because I would have seen this episode one less time. But
every time you watch it, it loses a half.
It loses a half a point because it's not as exciting. Because you're right. This was a very exciting episode.
You needed to not know what was happening.
Yeah, and I just did. And so then it just became then I just like picked it apart and I was like, this is confusing.
Like I am to the part now in our rewatches where it's hard for me to stop after the ones that we have to watch.
Yeah, I am getting there. Like I would say probably once we get to like season 9, that's where I'll be.
And I can't keep watching because I won't be able to retain everything.
Right.
Like, to talk about it. When we watch the shooting one, can we watch it together?
Well, I was planning on it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
We haven't watched one together in a really long time.
I know, but I think that one we need to watch together.
I need to hold someone's hand.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, we're going to say boo into.
What? Oh, say goo.
Oh.
I thought you said.
I did say boo, because that's a VeggieTales song. Say
like,
boo.
Why are we going to say, who are we saying boo to? I literally was so confused.
What I meant was we're going to say goo.
We're going to say goo into nothing.
We're going to say goo into Calling Time of Death. Do we have anything else? Just one more quick reminder. If you have thoughts about the episode, fucking call the podcast number.
Yeah, we'll play it.
Yeah, call our Google Voice number.
Call our Google Voice number. Ye lads and ladies.
That's the second time you've tried to do an Irish accent tonight.
That wasn't Irish. It was alien.
Oh, that was alien. Cool, cool, cool. Time of death is... What?
Can we just start calling it in not military time? It's so hard.
No, that's not how...
Is your phone still in military time?
Yeah, and so all of our devices are. Well, that's how John lives his life. I don't know. Anyway, time of death is 2151. Beep.